We go out to the fan hotline, Joe Rexroad, 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Also covers a lot of college football for The Athletic. Bring him on for the Titans, though. We'll talk about Ohio State at the end of the interview, though. Joe joins us here on the fan. Hello, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, as always. We're just trying to check in on. I mean, listen, we've been through some bad seasons with the Browns, so we're not gonna do the thing where we throw stones at glass houses or anything. Okay, we know what's happening there, but how bad is it for people that are trying to really gauge where the Titans are?
Oh, it's bad. It is. It's very bad. You're talking about a fourth straight double-digit loss season, and the last two, by the way, with Mike Vrabel coaching. And you're talking about a really strong shot here to be 1-16. And the win over the Cardinals, if you guys, I mean, I hope you didn't watch a second of that freaking game, but I mean,
it was a wild game.
The improbability, like the improbability of all the things that came together for that to happen, including like an interception thrown that was then fumbled to them for a touchdown. I mean, otherwise they'd have a real strong shot to be 0-17. So yeah, it's pretty much, I would say it's bottoming out. I mean, we'll see. There is some hope with the rookie quarterback, and there are a couple other pieces, but I mean, the roster is really barren.
As for this weekend, is there any hope that the Tennessee Titans could perhaps come to Cleveland and pull off an upset up here? Because the Browns are kind of dealing with a little bit of a similar situation, only got 3 wins on their season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. The Titans have been competitive in some games this year. I mean, they gave the Seahawks a pretty good run just a couple weeks ago before playing just terribly last week against Jacksonville. And, you know, the Titans defense actually has overachieved. They do have a great player, 98 Jeffrey Simmons. I think he might be as good a defensive tackle this year in the NFL as there is. They got some other, you know, better pass rush than anticipated overall this year. You know, some decent players and just overall collective performance there. I think I saw the over-under this game was like, 33 or something, and it's like, first of all, I don't know how many I've seen that low in the NFL, and also, my God, hammer the under, you know, because it's just, I just think, obviously, you know, you're talking about a great defense in Cleveland, a decent one in Tennessee, and then 2 bad offenses.
Yeah, Vegas works really hard to never get below 35. They work incredibly hard to never cross that line, so that's impressive. Joe, let me ask you, though, because I didn't see any of the Jacksonville game last week. Obviously, that was a blowout. But the Seattle game was close, as you mentioned. The Houston game was a 3-point game. The Chargers game prior to that was within a touchdown when it was all said and done. It did seem like there was some momentum, maybe not for winning these games, but at least playing close, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've hung in there a few times. And, you know, again, like Cam Ward has had some decent day. I mentioned that Seattle game. I mean, I think that was his best game. They've got a rookie receiver, a couple fourth round rookie receivers, Elikaya Manor and Chimeri Dike, both of whom are you know, good young talents. Dike right now I think leads the league in total yards, mostly because of his punt returning. So there's a little bit of promise there. I mean, Tony Pollard was good last year. It's kind of, you can see, you know, more tread off the tires this year. And that's kind of been one of the things that was supposed to be possibly good for them this year that just hasn't worked out. But a lot of that goes back to the offensive line. I mean, really, if you want to boil down the Titans' issues, you know, you had a really good offensive line back when they were, it wasn't that long ago, 4 years ago, they were number one seed in the AFC. You know, and you got guys like back when they were good, Taylor Lewan at left tackle, Jack Conklin, you guys know well, at right tackle, you know, Ben Jones at center. And it's just been just a nightmare of trying to find offensive tackles, and they just keep whiffing in the first round. And they might be looking at another one in J.C. Latham, the 7th pick from 2024. And so, you know, that is the big issue. It's been the issue, and it's also why I think Myles Garrett might break the record just on this in this particular game. I think he's got a shot.
Joe, what's that say about Cam Ward? Because I know he's been sacked and pressured so many times, and he's on pace to, you know, break Caleb Williams and the amount of times that he was sacked during his rookie season. What's the faith in Cam Ward down there in Tennessee?
Yeah, it's interesting because, look, he's had, overall, it hasn't been great, I don't think, from him. And so it's like, you know, it gets with these things. I mean, there are some fans that are going to, they are going to hold on to hope forever. I mean, I saw it in this town with Marcus Mariota a few years ago, you know, where it's like finally at some point it's like, guys, he's just okay, you know, like it's not going to get better. I'm keeping an open mind on Cam Ward. He can make some tremendous off-platform plays. I love like his intangibles, his toughness. I think he's a real leader. He does. I mean, he can, again, he makes some terrific throws. He also just misses too many layups, and that was one of my biggest. I mean, last year around draft time, I was telling everybody I like Shedeur Sanders better than Cam Ward because I like accuracy as you know, quick processing and accuracy. And at least with accuracy with Sanders, it was definitely better than Cam Ward. And that's still my question with him, you know, is he going to be able to get to that point? He's got some funky stuff going on with his mechanics and his footwork at times and sidearm throws for no reason to throw sidearm throws and things like that. Again, all that stuff happens, but he's had some good games. You could put together a heck of a highlight tape of some of the eye-popping throws he's made. And the supporting cast is so bad that he's going to get a pass from a lot of the fan base, and I get that. I mean, I think he's already starting to be affected by Dan Moore at left tackle, J.C. Latham, as I mentioned, at right tackle, the protection issues. I think you saw it last week against Josh Hines-Allen at time where he thought the pocket was crumbling, and it wasn't yet. Some people call it seeing ghosts. I mean, I think that's already happening to him. What you hope is that they give him that protection, it gets better, and then he doesn't continue to have that bad habit.
Joe Rexroad, 102.5 The Game in Nashville, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan of the Fan Hotline. When you guys have your conversations, is there anybody that like calls up and is like, hey, Kevin Stefanski as the head coach for the Titans, that's what we want?
Yes. Oh, yeah. In fact, I mean, we have, one of our longtime Titans beat writer who's on our show every week, Paul Kaharski, is, I mean, every chance he gets, he advocates like if Stefanski somehow breaks open, the Titans should be all over. And I agree. I think he's good. I mean, I know I don't have nearly the front row seat you guys do, for what's going on there. But I guess from the outside, it appears there's a lot of stuff that's out of his control that's been bad. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely been one of those almost like unrealistic names people throw out. You know, now everybody's talking about Tomlin. Right. There's been talk about what about Tomlin, Harbaugh and Stefanski all somehow are free. You know, it's like the fantasy coaching cycle. But yeah, for sure. I mean, Stefanski is one of those guys who people talk about as someone they'd like to see. You know, it's also, though, it's like, you know, Vrabel was the, you know, of course, like the culture coach, the tough guy and everything, and then everybody got sick of him. Oh, we got to get one of these hot shot play callers, and then Brian Callahan fails miserably, and so now it's a little bit more like, okay, can we get someone like, I don't know, how about that coach in New England? How about a guy like that? Can we get someone like that? You know, it's a little bit like that with the fan base now.
All right, so let's really have some fun with this. If you had to pick, if they both were to come available, Kevin Stefanski or Mike Tomlin, because we're kind of having that same discussion, that same debate up here in Cleveland.
Well, I would go Mike Tomlin. I mean, I understand Steelers fans are, you know, I get it. It's like, it's okay, how many, another not losing season. Yay. I get it. But I also look at the circumstances there and it's, I don't know, man. I think if Mike Tomlin were to, And you know, we always have Charles Robinson on every week from Yahoo, and he made the comparison the other day of Andy Reid of Philly. I thought that was a great comparison. It's just like, you know, he's really good. Now, the difference is Tomlin has won it. Reid didn't at that point. Everybody thought, well, he just, you know, clock management, he'll never win or whatever. But it was like, it was just time for a change. And so if that's the case, I have to think, like, so many franchises would be immediately like Mike Tomlin at the top of the list, right? So he'd be my number one, but I do. I think Kevin Stefanski would be – I think he would be coveted as well.
I just think it's interesting. You guys would be like dancing in the streets if you got Kevin Stefanski. It's just that's interesting. All right. I do – what's that?
No, it's funny. It is funny because it's amazing. I mean, seriously, 2 years ago, there was so many Titans fans complaining about Vrabel, and now it's like, Vrabel, you know? I mean, there is a little bit of like, you know, when it's going bad – in your backyard, you know, I mean, someone has to be to blame, you know, but I do feel like Stefanski to me has demonstrated enough that, like, he's going to be, I think, a successful coach in this league somewhere.
All right, Joe, you mentioned you liked Shador over Cam Ward at one point. What do you think Shador will do this weekend against this Tennessee defense?
Well, like I said, the pass rush has been better. You know, that's probably the pleasant surprise of the Titans, which is amazing to think that they have a pleasant surprise considering they're probably going to be 1-16. But Jihad Ward has been a pleasant surprise. You know, like I said, Jeffrey Simmons on the interior, he is a terror. And, you know, Tavondre Sweat's been a little bit disappointing, but also still a guy who you have to commit extra blockers to a fair amount. So, you know, that's to me the whole key is can the Titans have, you know, manufacture enough four-man rush? You know, the back end is vulnerable. The corners are, I mean, they've, you know, they traded away two good young corners this year, Brownlee to the Jets and McCreary, and then they, you know, the Legarius Sneed has been a no-show. So, I mean, they're very average and, you know, plan B free agency at corner. Lamonte Hooker's a pretty good safety. But, yeah, I think, you know, like I think from what I've seen of the Browns, I mean, I think if they can get into the 20s, I think that is possible, or at least the high teens, and I think that's probably all you need to win the game.
All right, Joe. Well, obviously there is a game on Saturday before the Browns and Titans game that a lot of people up here in Northeast Ohio are going to have a very close eye on. That's the Big Ten title game between the Buckeyes and the Indiana Hoosiers. Are you surprised at all to see that that line is where it's at about 3.5, 4.5 points in favor of Ohio State?
Well, yeah, I would think it would be bigger. And I don't know where it started or like if it's moved much or whatever. But
it's moved a few points. It started at like 6.5, yeah.
Okay, so the money is going on Indiana. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, look, I'm done doubting Cignetti in Indiana, you know. But at the same time, I watched that Ohio State-Michigan game last week, and it's just like, and that's the best team in the country. I mean, like, it's the best defense. It's two receivers who are going to not just play on Sundays, but, like, do damage on Sundays. I mean, I think Bo Jackson's going to be really good, too. And obviously, Sain's a really good young quarterback. So, I like Indiana and Mendoza, and I think that both of these teams can make runs, but I think the Buckeyes are going to win by double digits. I don't know. I mean, I just think they're the best team, and as boring as it is for the rest of the country, they might rip through this thing.
Joe Rexroad, 102.5 The Game in Nashville, also covers college football for The Athletic. And so obviously you're in Nashville, so Diego, we have a guest that comes on every week. He calls him Diego Manziel. And some of the stories around him they're incredible if you think about it. Like his older brothers that just continue to get drunk, and then you ask Diego about it, and he's like, yeah, well, when they didn't get drunk, we lost those games. And then he's like, we're from New Mexico. It's basically like Grand Theft Auto there. It's like, what is going on with this kid? I think it's incredible and also wild all at the same time.
Oh, man, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's funny because before the brothers got into all this trouble, you know, I did a story on them last year and talked to them. It's like, one of them's a firefighter. One of them owns a dispensary out there. But the family gets after it before games. There's no doubt. They probably should, you know, chill out a little bit at times, maybe during games or after games or whatever. But it's a wild bunch. It's an incredible story. And obviously, I mean, Pavia, who's like a zero-star, nothing at all recruit, maybe it could be a decent wrestler. You know, I mean, you look at a guy and it's like, what is he? Is he like a box safety or something? But my gosh, man, is he an incredible player too? So it's, you know, Vanderbilt going 10-2. It's too bad they're not going to be in the playoff because really that, you know, honestly, I don't know how much Vanderbilt football you guys have watched. I just mentioned Ohio State. Like, if I could, I swear to you, a dream matchup would be Vanderbilt's offense against Ohio State's defense. I think it might be the only offense that could give it any, and maybe it wouldn't give it trouble, but it's so. It's so unique and so creative, and he's such a pain in the butt running around and then making throws when he's like a half yard from the line of scrimmage. I think that'd be fun to watch, but of course we won't get to watch it.
Joe, fantastic insight. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.